It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we talk to the author of a new book on misinformation and government censorship during the pandemic in countries around the world. First, the one and only Larry Mueller joins us now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for informative, interesting conversations. We count on you to keep programs like this one going strong. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Rob. Good to be back with you.
Yeah.
It's fun to be here. You know, it's always great to talk about listener support.
Mm-hmm.
You may not know this, but listener support is the largest source of funding for our programs. And that's why your gift, any amount right now, makes an important difference as you listen in today. All kidding aside, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
Hey, thanks to everyone who gave last hour. This hour, we have a goal of 10 gifts.
And these hourly goals are important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the talk going strong on the Ideas Network. So give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Let's end the week on a strong note. When you donate to Wisconsin Public Radio, you'll join more than 50,000 other members. Pooled together, your support then makes up the largest source of funding for WPR programs.
Your support, very powerful. You make all the WPR programs you enjoy, and that so many others do as well. If you make your gift right now, choose an amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hey, today is Arbor Day, and in celebration, we're partnering with Alliance Energy to help preserve Wisconsin's natural landscapes. When you make a donation of any amount, 10 trees are going to get planted around the state. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 ensures WPR's essential service and Wisconsin woodlands are healthy for future generations.
Many of us are committed to making our communities better, and maybe you help out at the local school, maybe you pick up litter in your neighborhood, maybe you cook a meal for friends or family who need the help. Your financial contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio makes the community a better place as well.
Your investment, along with donations from others, makes the news, talk, and music on WPR available to everyone. We're proud to be an important part of the Wisconsin community. In large part, that is thanks to you. Join in now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's so easy to give at WPR. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift, any amount, say $10 a month.
That donation is going to come back to you every day in the form of engaging programs like Central Time and like The Larry Mueller Show. Show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Give as generously as you can.
And we have about 50 minutes left in the show, and I think we have maybe around 18 more contributions. 18 more of you to join in. Your gift right now, become one of those people at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Do that and you'll help ensure a bright future for the programs you rely on.
Celebrate Arbor Day. Get some trees planted along the way. Hey, we heard from Jennifer in Kaukauna who says, I'm donating because I love, wait for it, Larry Mueller and Rob Farage.
All right.
That's great to hear. Tell us more, Jennifer. No, thank you so much. I'm glad you love both of our shows. And I'm so glad you decided to show your support with a contribution, Jennifer. How about you? Are you a big fan of Larry Mueller? Are you able to tolerate the sound of my voice? Either way, you appreciate Wisconsin Public Radio. You could support it with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Now's a great time also to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Get started now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Glenn in Waupaca, by the way, says we love to listen to WPR programs. I like
awesome.
That.
Awesome. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you so much. We've heard from Jennifer there, and Glenn, how about you? Help us meet our goal on this Friday of our spring member drive. Looking for your support. Why? It comes down to this. You count on the Ideas Network for great conversations each and every day, lively entertainment on the weekends as well. We count on you to help support it. Make your gift right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and thank you. This is Central Time. Now, the COVID-19 pandemic brought a lot of confusion and misinformation about the coronavirus. Reliable sources of health info often competed with false or misleading ideas. In some parts of the world, the effort was intentional to control narratives about the disease. Countries responded with censorship in many cases, and sometimes by flooding the public with misinformation. Our next guest says it wasn't just authoritarian countries either, and this pandemic of misinfo led to even more sickness and death. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Was it hard for you to find reliable COVID-19 information at the start of the pandemic, or the middle of it for that matter? Did you have trouble trusting what you read and heard? Have you been around the world? Do you have friends or family in other countries? What were you hearing from them about what their countries were doing and saying? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Robert Mahoney is a journalist and executive director of the Committee to Protect Journalists. He's co-author of the new book, The Infodemic: How Censorship and Lies Made the World Sicker and Less Free. That's out this week. Rob, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Very happy to be with you.
This infodemic, this is a word that came from public health officials. Can you talk about what we mean by that?
We mean when we get so much bad information, misinformation about public health that we as ordinary citizens don't know what to believe. And that's what's happened over the last 2 years.
You go country by country, you and your co-author on this. Let's start it where you start and where the disease started in China, where we saw the classic types of what we would call censorship, journalists being arrested, public journalists being arrested. What were some of the early signs that we saw in China that sadly ended up being replicated in other parts of the world?
Well, the Chinese approached this initially by trying to control both the spread of the virus and spread of the news about the virus. And we were kept in the dark in the rest of the world for many, many months when we could have been doing more to prepare for this, when we could have taken some precautions maybe. But what the Chinese government did was it locked down the city of Wuhan in central China, which is a city of 11 million people. And it made sure that no news that wasn't going through the Chinese censorship machine was getting out there. But we in the book, my co-author Joel Simon and myself, we look at how a few very brave, ordinary Chinese citizens took it upon themselves to get on trains and buses, sometimes the last transportation in, and to go in and do old-fashioned reporting, going to hospitals, filming sick people dying in corridors, going looking at how the streets were being emptied and how people were being locked down, and posting those stories and those videos on social media. First on Chinese social media, where they were completely taken down very quickly. The citizens themselves, they lost access to those Chinese accounts, and they turned to YouTube and Twitter and other Western platforms, and they managed to stay in the city for a week or so before they too were eventually arrested. They were arrested as part of, you know, they were told that they needed to go into quarantine, but the Chinese locked it down, and that sent a message to the rest of the world that this is how authoritarian countries are going to deal with this. They're going to clamp on it, clamp it down, and try to make sure that we don't get the full picture.
That's what we might think of as censorship, sort of the classic method, blocking supplies of information. Mm-hmm. You also talk about a technique called, one phrase you use in the book is censorship through noise. And this is something you see in China. You see it in authoritarian regimes from Russia to Nicaragua to Iran, but also in populist democracies, India, Brazil, and the United States. What do you mean by censorship through noise?
Well, in the United States, for example, we have the First Amendment. The government cannot, by law, censor information in the classic way. So what we saw happen was that under the Trump administration, the administration just flooded the zone with misinformation, let lies stay out there. Do you remember we were told that anti-malarial drugs like hydroxychloroquine would be a cure? You remember the news conference when Donald Trump talked about sunlight and bleach? This was just a way of sowing confusion because the leadership could not handle the pandemic. So you create confusion, you push down the responsibility to the state level or to officials, and then when they can't handle it, they are bound, you set them up for failure, and when they fail, you criticize them for that. So you look good. And we track in the book, you know, Brazil and the United States, the president of Brazil, who is a populist like Trump was, called Jair Bolsonaro, he came to Mar-a-Lago in Florida to Trump's resort there. And at that event, they hyped up miracle cures like the anti-malarials, and they came upon this strategy together to basically, you know, inoculate themselves against criticism for failing to deal with this this pandemic. So you have censorship through silence, the silencing, and what we would call censorship through noise. And that was the response of all populist leaders and authoritarian leaders. They just did not know in the first few months how to deal with this pandemic, which, after all, is a once in a century event.
We're talking to Robert Mahoney about his new book. He's co-authored The Infodemic, How Censorship and Lies Made the World Sicker and Less Free. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think misinformation, disinformation, censorship in some countries made the pandemic worse? Why or why not? What would you want to see from a national government, whichever one it might be, at the outset of a pandemic? How honest do you want them to be with you? How much do you want them to steer clear of avoiding panic? What do you want to see from the media? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with journalist Robert Mahoney, co-author of the new book, The Infodemic, How Censorship and Lies Made the World Sicker and Less Free. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Rob, before we go to our callers, I want to dig in on one point in your book. Bad information was able to flow and be promoted more easily because of a vacuum, you write, especially at the local news level. The revenue models dried up. A lot of local newspapers disappeared, or other outlets disappeared, or had much smaller staffs. How much did that absence of local coverage facilitate the flow of bad info?
Oh, this is such an important point, because it really did play a crucial role. You know, in the United States, because of the collapse of the advertising model of classified ads for newspapers, the U.S. has lost more than 2,000 news outlets in the last decade or so. And even some of those that remain are what we call ghost newspapers. They've been gutted from the inside, small staffs. We look, as individuals, we don't just consume information on our own. We consume it as part of a community. And local newspapers and local news outlets have such an important role because we trust them. They appeal to a broader spectrum of the local population because that's how they have to get their money, right? They don't just appeal to the left or the right. And so there was a lack of local reporting. People weren't learning from journalists who live in their community what was happening, how to take precautions to help yourself. And in those communities that had a strong local press, I think they had better outcomes. And this has been researched over the years, that towns that have local newspapers or news outlets have less corruption, have better public services, better school accountability, all the things that we want in the community. And that's because the press is doing its job. And the fact that the press couldn't do its job in so many towns in the U.S. contributed to the polarization of public health measures, where things like wearing a mask or social distancing became a political stance rather than a common sense public health mitigation strategy.
Let's bring on a caller now. Mike is with us in Lake Mills. Mike, hi.
Hi, thank you. Just ordered your book. Can't wait to get it so I can read it. I agree pretty much with everything you've said so far, except the fact that the Trump administration was extremely deliberate. Solving this problem was not ever brought up in conversation. It was all about, how can we make money off of this? How can we make everybody else look horrible? And how can we come out smelling like a rose? It's everybody's fault. It was very, very deliberate, Mike, like all of his actions were.
Mike, thanks for the call. Rob, with the Trump administration or other governments for that matter, the incentive to not want to look bad during the pandemic, whatever you did or didn't do, what do you think of what Mike had to say?
That was a big motivator for everybody, from the president of China to the president of the U.S. They did not want to get politically infected by this virus because they didn't know how to handle it at the beginning. So they distanced themselves. They either dismissed it and downplayed it, like Trump did. Other leaders called it just a little flu. That's what the president of Brazil called it. And you know, the very nature of the disease at the beginning, because we didn't know what it was, it could be dismissed as a bad cold or influenza. So it spread even more before we realized what it was, because people were dismissing it. But I'll say one thing. A lot of these so-called strong men, and most of them are men, disappeared from public view in the first months of the pandemic. Vladimir Putin, just in Russia, just basically isolated himself. We didn't hear from him for a long time. Why? Because he did not want to take the blame for not being able to handle this pandemic.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Tom now in Milwaukee. Hi, Tom.
Hi. To me, in terms of affecting public health, I see a continuity in terms of the tactics that were used to confuse people. The same tactics were used by the tobacco companies to deny that smoking causes cancer, or petroleum companies saying that it does not cause petroleum use does not cause climate change.
Tom, thanks for the call. What do you think, Rob? Those same tactics, he says, of misinformation creating doubt.
Well, that's the whole point. I mean, whether it's a government or a corporation, it doesn't matter. The point is to undermine trust in the experts, in what I would call the sense-making institutions that we rely on, whether it's the media or whether it's, you know, public health officials. In so many countries, what we saw was, because doctors and health workers were the first sources of information about this, they were denigrated. In some countries, they were arrested, in China, for example, in Iran, in Egypt. The doctors were silenced because they were going to tell the truth. So the result of all this was, we did not know who to believe, and we lost trust in our institutions. Doesn't mean that this is the first time that we lost trust in our institutions, but what the pandemic did is it accelerated a lot of negative trends, and loss of trust was a big one, and I don't know how we're going to rebuild that trust.
Rob, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
That's Robert Mahoney, a journalist and executive director of the Committee to Protect Journalists, with us today talking about his new book. He's the co-author. It's called The Infodemic: How Censorship and Lies Made the World Sicker and Less Free. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Larry Mueller joins me. Our goal in this drive is to make sure that you keep getting your favorite programs like Central Time.
And your gift of any amount is so important, because your support provides the largest piece of funding here at WPR. So I hope you'll give right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Off to a good start this hour. Now looking for six more people to join in to hit our goal for the hour. Thank you so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
In that last conversation, we looked back, especially at the early days of the pandemic, and how governments around the world handled things like censorship or misinformation, from the most authoritarian regimes to here in the United States. These are the kind of in-depth, important conversations you can count on from Central Time.
WPR is listener-supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
When you give today, become a sustainer. As a sustaining member, you'll give an amount. Say you pick the amount, $10 or $15 a month, your choice. That's going to automatically come out of your bank account or your credit card. And then that monthly gift will continue until you ask us to change it.
And this means we can depend on you the way you depend on us, day in, day out, year in, year out. You're still in control. You can change your giving at any time. So become a member, a sustainer, right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You can listen to Wisconsin Public Radio while you're driving, working, or cooking, or grilling. That's coming up on Food Friday. It turns those daily tasks into chances to learn and engage and be inspired.
Your support makes WPR possible, and it turns ordinary activities into extraordinary ones. Your life is better with WPR in it, and WPR is listener-supported. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Think about what you spend money on every day. The coffee, takeout, it adds up. It's easy to spend on things that are part of your daily routine.
And Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your routine as well. It's your news source, your conversation starter, your place to learn. So spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day, let's say, $30 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
About halfway through this hour, about halfway to our goal for this hour, you can make a gift today. Help us hit that goal. Help ensure a bright future for the programs you count on online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We're partnering with Alliant Energy to plant 10 trees for every donation today. Join in right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and you'll help ensure WPR's essential service and forests in Wisconsin are healthy for future generations.
Hey, I saw a note come through already this week. Saul and Lena in Stevens Point say, throughout my day, Rob is a barrel of fun, Larry is a load of laughs, and Kate is a cup of good cheer. How about that? Yeah, that is great. Now we can argue, which is better to be, Larry, a barrel of fun or a load of laughs? I could go either way, honestly. I'm good with either of those.
I like either one. We don't have to fight over that. We should fight over sustaining members and whether people should become sustaining members. I think they should. If you're a sustaining member, I want to thank you. If you haven't, do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm not going to argue with that. Larry's right. Do it. Make a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Up next, it's Food Friday. We talk to grilling expert and barbecue Hall of Famer Meathead about what to look for in a new grill, how to clean up our old grill after winter, plus some Mother's Day recipe ideas. First, it's our spring member drive. Your support is the foundation of funding for all WPR programs. It's the largest piece at what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great conversations. That's why Larry Mueller is with me now to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Rob, when six more people join in during the next 15 to 20 minutes, we'll meet our goal. And these hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. So make your donation right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
On Central Time, you get the news of the day and also a lot of interesting topics, serious things that affect our lives. Earlier this week, we talked about dealing with grief. And we have some fun, too, like on Food Friday. Lots of great cooking advice coming up. Lots of great grilling advice. It makes us your go-to place for an informative and interesting afternoon.
Your financial support is a big part of what makes these hours possible. Listener support, the biggest funding here at WPR. So make a contribution right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
We live in a pretty generous society. We're quick to help out that neighbor or coworker in need. We chip in for good causes. You can continue that tradition of generosity when you support WPR right now.
If you've never given to WPR, you could step up and give right now. And when you do, you'll be funding the programs you and so many others benefit from every day. I know that many first-time donors give $100 or maybe $10 a month. The total is really up to you. The important thing is that you make your first-ever gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Today is Arbor Day, and we're celebrating with an exciting opportunity for you to support the WPR programs you love and to protect Wisconsin's forests. When you make a donation of any amount, Alliant Energy will plant 10 trees throughout the state. This is your chance to make an even greater impact. Today only, power the essential news and quality entertainment you rely on and help preserve Wisconsin's forests when you make a gift. Here's how.
You can do that online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with special guest Larry Mueller. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all your favorite programs going strong. Whether you give $10 a month or $100, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And however you choose to give, thank you for however you do it. Your support's powerful. And today there's still something more you can do to help. Encourage a friend to join the Wisconsin Public Radio community.
Yeah, share your love of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tell your friends and family that you support WPR. You might inspire them to listen and maybe also to give. Online, they can do it at WPR.org or pass along this number for them. Maybe write it down now. 888-202, you keeping up? 2552, 888-202-2552.
I've got it.
Got it.
Okay.
Actually, that number will be etched in my brain forever, Larry. That's me. That's me.
You know, we can talk about habits. I've got some bad habits, but I've got some good habits, too. And as you listen to Rob and I chatter on here, you've made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, so why not make a habit of donating right now? It's a good habit, a habit you can be proud of. So get started right now. Help out with your donation, any amount, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
20 minutes left this hour. Just a few more gifts needed to meet our goal. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 ensures a bright future for the radio programs you rely on.
Happy Arbor Day to everyone, and today WPR is partnering with Alliant Energy to celebrate and preserve Wisconsin's natural landscapes. And when you support WPR at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, 10 trees will be planted in the state. So thank you for supporting the programs you rely on and for celebrating Arbor Day with us.
You can help sustain nature, and now is a great time to become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get started right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thomas in Fox Point says, I support all the programming at WPR. And Lisa in Sheboygan says, I appreciate the educational aspects of the Ideas Network and the excellent Wisconsin news coverage.
Thanks to both of you so much. Join them right now with your gift. Do it right now, and you'll be back in time to listen to some great grilling talk on Food Friday. Make your gift. Takes just a couple minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. It's been a long, cold spring, but for this edition of Food Friday, we're getting ready to fire up the grill for the season. Meathead is back with us, founder of AmazingRibs.com and author of the book Meathead, The Science of Great Barbecue and Grilling. He's an inductee to the Barbecue Hall of Fame. Meathead, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob, it's always good talking to you, and I support my local NPR station, WBEZ, in Chicago with $10 a month. It's a great investment, and I listen to it all day long.
And you drop by and grill out in their parking lot, I hope. That'd be pretty sweet. They'd love it, I bet. If not, come out of here. We'll take it. Meathead, I know you and a lot of people here in Wisconsin will grill all winter long. I actually put mine away for the winter. I want to start with people getting ready for the season. First of all, you've got some advice up at AmazingRibs.com for those people looking for a new grill or maybe a smoker. Give us some starting points when we're hunting for that new rig.
Yeah, it's time to get rid of that old rust bucket if it's starting to misbehave and rust through. This is a good time to shop. A lot of new models every year. The trick for good grilling is you need a grill bigger than you think. It's like RAM in your computer. You never have enough of it. Get something bigger than you think you need. Because at the 4th of July party, you're going to have to cook a lot of burgers and hot dogs and chicken. And I want you to set up your grill in a two-zone system, which means you're going to divide your grill in half, and one side of it is going to be roaring hot, and the other side is not. You're going to have no fire, no flame, no nothing under one side, and as much as you can get on the other. And that gives you temperature control. You can move the food back and forth from the hot side to the cool side or in the middle, and you have temperature control. And cooking, whether it's indoor or outdoor, is all about temperature control. So that's what you want to look for.
And if I wanted to do this zany technique where I cook the meat slowly on that cooler side and then give it a final sear on the hot side, I learned that from you, Meathead. That's often a pretty good thing to do, right?
That's called the reverse sear, and it's a great technique. And you want to start the meat almost always on the cool side. Energy, and heat is energy, shrinks the muscle fibers and squeezes out the juice. And I know we all get out there, and particularly the guys, we get all macho, want to give it all she's got, Scotty, and we crank up the heat and we squeeze all the juices out. We have dry meat, overcooked meat. We have to stand at the head of the table and make excuses for well-done steaks. Learn to cook on the cool side of the grill. Turn down the heat. Gently cook it. It takes a little longer, but you'll end up with a plumper, juicier, more tender piece of meat. And then when it's time to get that nice, rich, dark crust, which is full of flavor, you move it over to the hot side, you lift the top, and you stand there, and you flip it frequently. And I know that's exactly the opposite of what you've been told, but the old rules were written before food science was really well understood. And you want to do the searing, if you can, at the end of the cook, not the beginning. You don't want to load up the meat with energy at the beginning, otherwise you get overcooked meat. You sear it at the end and you flip, 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 flip so that the energy doesn't build up and push to the center. And you have that rainbow effect of a dark exterior, then a tan layer, then a pink layer, and a nice rosy medium rare steak in the center. You want it all medium rare from edge to edge.
Okay, now suppose those of us who have our old grills, I've got my Homer Simpson Weber charcoal that my wife gave me many years ago. What do we want to do for preseason cleanup? I read on your website, we might think that those caked on layers of grease and creosote add really special flavor. Maybe not so much.
No. You know, a lot of folks, you know, they crank up the grill and they are preheating, which is a good thing to do. And they see that smoke billowing out of there. That smoke is coming from grease. And you don't want that. Grease smoke isn't good tasting. You want your flavor from wood smoke. You want to use chunks or chips or pellets to get wood smoke. That's the best flavor. Grease smoke is not very appetizing. It can put soot and creosote on the meat. So you want to clean your cooking surface, that grill grate, really well. And not just the top where the food sits, but a lot of the grease builds up on the underside.
Oh.
So you need to fire up the grill, preheat it, and burn off all of that grease, scrape the top down, and then flip it over and scrape the underside down. You can use a paint scraper. There's all kinds of gadgets. We review them on AmazingRibs.com that will scrape the top and bottom. You can use a wire brush. They're really good at this, but just be careful when you're done with a wire brush. Look carefully at the surface to make sure that a bristle hasn't been left behind. Sometimes a bristle will fall out, stick to the grill grate, and if that gets on a hamburger, you got somebody going to the hospital.
Not good. We are getting ready for grilling season with Meathead, founder of AmazingRibs.com, author of the book Meathead, The Science of Great Barbecue and Grilling. You've got a feature up at AmazingRibs.com, Meathead, with recipe ideas for Mother's Day. There's one that you're excited about, and it's one of my seasonal favorites, too, the asparagus. Talk to us about grilling our asparagus.
Well, I don't think there's a better way to cook asparagus. You can put it in the oven. You can put it in the microwave. You can simmer it. You can boil it. It just doesn't come out as good as it does off the grill. And there's a common misconception that big, fat, thick asparagus isn't as good as little skinny asparagus. And if you go to the grocery and all you can find is fat asparagus, you might be tempted to just skip it. Don't. The big, fat asparagus can be every bit as good. You just need to do a little something different with them. The little skinny ones, you're ready to go with them. The big, fat ones, what you want to do, well, all asparagus, you want to cut off about a bottom from an inch from the bottom. That cuts off most of the woody stuff that's down by the roots. And then for the fat ones, you get your potato peeler and just scrape a little bit of the skin off and let that beautiful white interior show. Then I give it a very light coat of cooking oil, any oil you want, olive oil, bacon fat. Give it a light coating of oil. Sprinkle on some seasoning. I like to go with herbs, a nice green herb mix. And then on the grill and right on the hot side. Now, this stuff, you want to go right to the direct hot side, not the indirect side. You want to get it hot. You want to get a little char on the surface. Be careful of the tips. They're very fragile. They'll burn. And to prevent them from burning, you can actually let them hang off the edge of the grill. Also, be careful. They like to jump between the grates and commit suicide. Yep. So watch as you roll them around, get them on all sides, bring them off, and you can cook them before the meat. They're really good at room temp, so don't worry about you got to get them off and get them to the table roaring hot. And then if you really want to go crazy, you make yourself a hollandaise or a béarnaise or a beurre blanc sauce. Oh, my goodness.
All right, two things, Meathead. When you said rub them in bacon fat, Trina, our technical director, and I both looked up at each other and made that face like, ooh. So that's one.
Yeah.
Two, you mentioned that herb mix. And I think this is the one, asparagus, you had your what you call your Simon and Garfunkel herb mix recipe. My wheel spins slowly, but I said, oh, yeah, Scarborough Fair, I can guess four ingredients here, a parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Tell us about this homemade mix you recommend.
Yeah, it's a recipe on our website. It starts with parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Don't ask me to sing it, dude.
Sing it. Do it. Okay, no.
And it's got a few other goodies in there, some garlic and stuff. And the recipe's on the website. It's a great all-purpose recipe for vegetables and poultry. If you're too lazy to make it, we actually have something similar to it in bottle now. We finally, after all these years, 15 years, came out with a line of rubs and sauces. And you can order them on the website. But it's really easy to make, and it's cheaper.
All right, now we've got our asparagus for Mother's Day. What is a fun, for a day like Mother's Day or something else, you're kind of honoring a particular person, what's a nice little showstopper that isn't crazy complicated?
Oh, French toast on the grill.
French toast on the grill.
French toast on the grill. You know, it's really nice, and it gets a lovely flavor. You want to make, you get a really good, thick, crusty bread. Cut it thick. Whip up some eggs. You can throw a little half and half or cream in there. You're making essentially an uncooked custard, and you soak it through. Make sure it soaks all the way through. And then you put it on the grill on the indirect side to make sure it cooks through. You don't want any raw egg in there.
True.
And then you move it over the hot side and get it nice and golden. Get a little char flavor on it. You can take some fresh peaches, or actually, this time of year, you won't find fresh peaches. But you can take some canned fruits or some fresh. Well, you can get pineapple now. Oh, my God. There is nothing better than grilled pineapple. I mean, I would rather have grilled pineapple than a steak sometimes. It's just so good. And it's so sweet to begin with. And then when you caramelize the sugars on the grill, oh, my goodness. So you grill up some pineapple. You pour some maple syrup. You chop up the pineapple and throw it on top of that grilled French toast. It's gorgeous. What a great way to start Mom's Day.
You had me a grilled pineapple on grilled French toast. Meathead, thanks, as always, for joining us. It's always a lot of fun.
Rob, it's always fun talking to a guy that loves food like you.
I do. I'm better at eating it than I am at cooking it, but I do like it. Meathead has been with us. Founder of AmazingRibs.com, author of the book Meathead, The Science of Great Barbecue and Grilling. He joined us for this week's edition of Food Friday. Hey, if you have some favorite grilling advice to share, I'd love to hear it from you. You can let us know on the Ideas Network Facebook page or email centraltime@wpr.org. If you share your advice, maybe we can share it with others as well. Again, the Ideas Network Facebook page or email centraltime@wpr.org. Now it is our spring member drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller is with me. We're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
Listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the shows you count on, programs like Central Time, and that's why your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
Just a few minutes left this hour. We're knocking on the door of our goal. You could put us over the top if you make your gift right now. Food Friday fans, this is your moment. Make your gift to support Food Friday and all the other stuff here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
WPR programs are listener supported, and that means that your donation right now does make a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Larry, you know your way around a grill, right?
I do quite a bit of grilling, actually. I love that segment with Meathead.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm pretty good at the grill. I don't consider myself a pro, but I'm a decent griller. And every time I talk to Meathead, or when you used to talk to Mad Dog and Merrill all the time, like, I always learn something cool and new about what I'm supposed to be doing there. And it's made my grilling game better doing these shows. You've learned from your guests too, right?
Well, absolutely. And I, you know, for Meathead, that bacon fat idea with asparagus. I love that idea.
Yeah. So this is Food Friday. You get take home information. You can do this stuff that you hear on Friday. You could cook with it over the weekend. It's an example of the kind of helpful, useful information you can count on from Central Time.
I got a pound of bacon at home, and I'm going to cook that up and save that fat.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it.
Let me know when to show up for the asparagus, Larry. Or are you going to bring it into the studio?
I could bring it into the studio, I guess.
Sure, it'll travel really well.
Yeah, and maybe there'll be some listeners here. You know, WPR is listener supported, of course, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
If you are a Food Friday fan yourself, if you can think back over the years to things you've learned to do that you've actually used in your own kitchen or on your own grill to make your cooking better, put a value on it. Make a gift in support of Food Friday and everything else you love about Wisconsin Public Radio. Give now. WPR.org if you want to give online or call 888-202-2552.
We tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio for shows we all know and love. But WPR is more than radio.
I am Andrea Anderson. I'm an online news producer. We work closely with reporters across the state to create something that they're proud of that's online, that people can go to WPR.org and read, and it's really an expansion of what people hear on the radio. We have a lot of different diverse content that comes onto WPR.org on a daily basis.
Wisconsin Public Radio, it's more than radio. And when you give, you're a big part of what makes it all happen.
And you can make it all happen when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Larry Mueller. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for all your favorite WPR programs. That's why your support during this member drive is so important.
And maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month or more. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
When you became a regular listener to Wisconsin Public Radio, you took an important step. Now take the next step and become a financial supporter.
And that's an important step because WPR relies on listener support, and it's so easy to donate. I've done it 100 times. Decide how much you'd like to give, $10 a month or $120, maybe a great starting point. Then make your gift. It'll just take a few minutes at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You get to decide how much to give. Maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on takeout, let's say, or entertainment, for example, things you enjoy that make life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We can't do it without you. Listener support has been such a huge part of Wisconsin Public Radio over the last literally century. Love to hear from you right now.
And we have, let's see, a couple of minutes left in this hour, or maybe a minute, and we still have four more people to join in. Your gift today, right now, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 ensures a bright future for the programs you rely on.
Special thing here, we're partnering with Alliant Energy to plant 10 trees for every donation today, Arbor Day. Join in now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Help ensure WPR's essential service.
If you're a sustainer, thank you so much. If you want to increase your support, this would be a good day to do it. You can do it by going to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Dean in Eau Claire says, we give because my family finds continuous joy and knowledge through listening to the many wonderful programs the station has to offer. Larry Mueller, Central Time, locally Spectrum West are some favorites that keep us informed in our culture, news, and the natural world. Dean says, thank you so much. Dean, thank you. You get it. You appreciate it, and you helped pay for it. How about you? Join Dean with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is listener-supported. That means that your gift is really powerful. It really does make a difference. So if you've been thinking about it, this would be a really a good time to act. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
Thank you so much for your support. We really do appreciate it.